Living and Dying with Honor Bible Study Lesson number 116. Within that series, the internal series, we call it Obedience to God and Man Bible Study Lesson number 28. Today is December the 19th, 2009. Before we begin, let's pause for solid prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We thank you for every opportunity you give us to teach the word of God. We pray that our voice hold out that we'll be able to teach this class without any problem this morning. We thank you for those who study under our ministry. We ask you to strengthen them and encourage them. Supply their needs in this day and age in which we live. And depression continues to go on worldwide. Americans continue to operate in operation denial. We again thank you for your grace, mercy, and peace. In Christ's name, amen. We continue to live in a fascinating time in history. A time in which politicians are operating with a facade of Madison Avenue techniques. A media age in which great delusion is all around us. The government of Greece this past week, leaders said that the nation is the brink of disaster. Dubai was rescued only when the relative of the Shah there, the ruler there, his cousin, had Arab Emirates. Made them a massive loan or gift, I'm not sure which, to bail it out. I've read conflicting reports of what all the tie-in is within these Islamic Pasha governments. In the ancient terms that they use, you don't have the same openness to the extent that we have in this country. But another two war countries in the world, I'm sure, a shaky financial situation. If you follow the Dubai World situation newspapers, all you know about that. Greece has been played down for some reason. Went on down there. I found it in only one newspaper. In the meantime, massive personal debt continues to run up and national debt. Deficit spending continues to be a horror day. We're going back to ancient times and the Word of God to be sure that you understand what we're dealing with. And understand that governments begin and end with our Lord Jesus Christ's plan. God, who is the person of God, the Son. I control history. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We have here an often ignored genealogical list here for people. We're going to look at the issue of the prophets from the dispensation of Gentiles as far as their writings are concerned. Doctrinally, we had in the last class, we took a look at the prophets from the dispensation of Gentiles introduction. We want to look at their writings for a moment to see something of what was available and what we have in Scripture. You must remember 2 Timothy chapter 3. verses 16-17 make it clear all scriptures God breathed is given by doctrine, given for doctrine, teaching, for correction, for instruction, righteous. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, and all good works by the my translation. Original Greek. King James says by inspiration of God. I just simply translate that to God breathed. It's doctrinal teaching. It's content, everything, every jot and tittle of scripture is important to us to understand. We have here the line, Genesis chapter 5, which is the line of God's plan. All right, first of all, we read in Genesis chapter 5, in the book of the generation of Adam, in the day that God created man, the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Which translation of the word man. The day when they were created. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. His image. He called his name Seth. And we know that Adam had other children before that, and Abel had already murdered Cain. All right, Adam fell. What is the timeline? The fall of Adam. We often call EF after the fall. After the fall. It's 930 years of Adam's life again. So you start at day one after the fall. Yeah. In the first year, but Adam's only got one day. You go down from after the fall, 130 years later, and Seth comes on the scene. Now, we're going to look at Adam for just a moment. We saw in the last class that God has declared that he had a testimony from the beginning. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, testified through the Spirit that the Father had provided prophets from the very beginning of the dispensation of Gentiles, Luke 1:69-70. We saw that Peter testified of this in Acts 3:21, and the writer of Hebrews 1:2. So if you compare that to 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that the Father had raised up his prophets by the power of the Spirit from the beginning, and that means that Adam was the first prophet. Adamic human history. Adam is not called a prophet by name, but Zechariah's testimony implies that he was a prophet. So others may have been prophets who were not given the title in Scripture. One of the two most fascinating people in Scripture are Simeon and Anna. I'm working on a possible little special on those two very interesting and important people who appear on the scene of history only once in Scripture itself for a moment. When they brought the baby Jesus into the temple, the eighth day to be circumcised, of course, with the law. Anna is called a prophetess. Simeon prophesied over Christ that day. That was the first public prophecy recorded since Malachi, approximately 400 years had gone by, often called the silent years. Adam left us a partial text, which I call the book of the prophet Adam. I'm not the first one to do this, but I utilize it that way. Moses wrote it down. Moses is the recorder of it, the verbal plan inspiration. Did he get it directly in writing from Adam? He could have, because there was great genius on the other side of the flood. There was great genius right after the flood. The idea that all men began living in caves, having evolved out of some up the ladder down there, from nothing to an amoeba and up the ladder of development is ridiculous. God created man in his own image. Adam walked upright and talked with God from the day of his creation. He communicated with God the Son, who would appear to him And Christophanes clearly taught in Scripture in Genesis chapter 2. God gave him instructions what trees he could eat of, what trees he could not eat of. God brought him animals and he named them all those things. Adam had the highest IQ of any man that ever lived. The difference between Adam and Solomon was that when Adam was created, Adam had absolutely no experiential knowledge. Solomon grew up with experiential knowledge. Adam was created an adult. Solomon was born a baby. That's the difference in the two of them. The book of the prophet Adam runs from Genesis chapter 2 verse 4 to chapter 3 verse 24. So that's point one, the book of the prophet Adam, Genesis 2, 4 to 3, 24a. It's titled, "There is the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created," and its contents show it to be a contextual monograph. B, its closing indicates the time when it was written and identifies the writer. The direct quotes by Adam in Genesis 2, 23, 3, 10, and 12 had credence to the idea that it was the first hand account of things that happened in the garden. Have you considered that? Genesis 2, 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the garden. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." This is a direct quote of Adam's first person. Genesis 3:10. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Verse 12. He said, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The direct quotes by Adam in Genesis 2, 23, 3, 10, 12 add credence to the fact that this is the first hand account of things that happened in the Garden of Eden. D. And Zacharias had proclaimed that the Father had raised up a prophet from the beginning. That could have only been Adam. But this is logically the book of Adam. And that would be Luke 1, 69 and 70. Salvation for us in the house of his servant David is paid by his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. It gives new life to that which occurred over 4,000 years ago. Think of this point. It gives new life to that which occurred over 4,000 years ago when we accept the literal fact that since Adam speaks in the first person, that we have a first person account. Now, Moses assembled the material and wrote Genesis. Either the Spirit revealed all of this ancient history to him, or he had access to accounts of those who had been there when these events occurred. As the call occurred in circa 4004 B.C., and Moses wrote somewhere between 1490 and 1451 B.C., we must acknowledge that the flood, which occurred in circa 2349 B.C., had greatly changed the topography and geography of the land. Hence, the Garden of Eden was gone forever from off the earth, and yet details about it were clearly recorded by Moses. When the billows of the earth opened up as a result of great earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, rivers disappeared and had the courses changed, and new rivers took their place. Adam has left for us a first-hand account of the Garden of Eden, even with regard to the seminal account. This is the story of the temptation, the fall of man, in a simplistic but clear and comprehensible manner. Moses, the historian, took the facts that were given to him as Moses the prophet recorded when the Spirit led him to record, but using the language of Adam or the other prophet writers. Now, we can detect this from the fact that Moses has Adam using the name Jehovah, or if you prefer Yahweh, Tetragram, of course, in the Greek, Elohim. Jehovah Elohim, and this name is peculiar this one section of the book of Genesis. And the book of Adam must not be confused with the pseudographa, first and second books of Adam and Eve, also known as the forgotten books of Eden. That's apocrypha, a pseudo-apocrypha. Must not be confused instead of graphical, we have prakara. All right, we read in Genesis chapter 5. In verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. So it was 235 years after the fall that Enos came on the face of the earth. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Now, we can consider what we have said here. Adam, Seth, to Enos. Adam is 235 years old. Seth is 105. Now we have an interesting concept here. In the Septuagint, at this point of time, we have the introduction of Canaan, K-E-I-N-O-N, not found in the Maserati text. Missing from the text is the name. I'm sorry. I got my book turned around. I say, I'm sorry, that's in the second section of my chart. My eyes looked the wrong way through my thing here. Next we have Genesis 105. I apologize. I got Canaan is coming under the second chart. And the name introduced in the book of Luke is found in the Septuagint. Between Arphaxad and Selah. So the text there. Alright, now, Seth has a son named Enos. Enos has a son named Canaan. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. So we're at 325. Lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. We're at 395 after the fall. This becomes important to us for where we're going, so just be patient for a minute. Next, Mahalalel. Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel, and Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and he begat sons and daughters. All the days of Canaan were 910 years, he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared, alright? Jared was born in the year 460. And you realize that in 460, Adam lived 930 years after the fall. So, by the time that Jared comes along, Adam is just a little over halfway through his lifespan. Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and he begot Enoch. Now we do not know how many children he may have got before that. Nowhere does it ever say that this is the firstborn son of any of these. Remember that. Nowhere does it say this is the firstborn son. That's eisegesis to read that in there. That brings us to 622 AF after the fall. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. So we add the 65 to it, and we're in 687 AL. And all of the Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, he was 65 when his son was born. He lived a total of 365 years. And God translated Enoch. You must understand that Enoch died in 527 A.M. Disappears off the face of the earth. Now stop and consider what we've got here then. We've got Adam. We've got Seth. We've got Enos. We've got Canaan. We've got Mahalalel. We've got Jared. We've got Enoch. It's 922 AF. Enoch is gone. He walks with God and disappears. And people must have marveled at this. He had been a prophet. We know from the book of Jude. We'll see that in a minute. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. All right, let's consider here just a moment. The book of the prophet Seth, point two. Genesis 4, 1 to 26. Again, at the close of the monograph, we seem to have a clear indication of its author. Here we do not find the name of Jehovah, Elohim, for God, but instead we find only the Hebrew Tetragrammaton, JHVH, or if you prefer, YHWH, for Jehovah or Yahweh. The isolation of the name Jehovah in this chapter draws attention because it previously had not been used by itself. Now, clearly only the Spirit could have revealed to Seth the details of the conversation between Jehovah and Cain. Seth was the father's chosen replacement for Abel, and the one who led the spiritual revival that broke out at the birth of Enos. Genesis 4, 26, and Seth. And to Seth him also there was born a son, he called his name Enos, and began then to call upon the name of the Lord. Seth was father's chosen replacement for Abel, and the one who led the spiritual revival that broke out the birth of Enos. Very important. There were people saved all along, but suddenly there is a great spiritual revival. The father's offer of salvation to Cain, his refusal to accept it, would provide ample proof of God's grace gift of salvation by faith for Seth to preach as he led the first great spiritual revival. I repeat this important point. The Father's offer of salvation to Cain, his refusal to accept it, would provide ample proof of God's grace gift of salvation by faith for Seth to preach as he led the first great spiritual revival. He would have learned firsthand from his father and mother, Adam and Eve, of Cain's murder and departure into foreign lands. H, the Jewish writers believe that Jared visited the Kinetic Kingdom, and since Seth lived until Jared was 582 years old, he could have easily gotten the recorded facts about Cain and his family from Jared. Perhaps in the case of Adam, we have only a fragment of Seth's writings, but we have all that the Spirit has chosen to share with us. To me, the book of Enoch is recorded in Jude chapter 4, the existence of it. The existence of the book of Enoch is recorded in Jude chapter 4. Each chapter in Jude is a book, a verse in Jude I consider a chapter. Taught one time, it took 68 hours to teach it. Somewhere we still got it on cassette tape if they haven't wrote it out after all these years. That was back in the middle 1970s. All of my notes on it were lost by a man. I was going to transpose it into the computers years ago and never happened. I said Jude 4. It's Jude 14. Jude verse 14. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied these sayings, behold the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. The Spirit did not choose to have Moses record anything from the book of the prophet Enoch. B, however, Jude confirmed Enoch was a true prophet of God. C, the existence of the book of Enoch was confirmed by the Spirit through Jude. This book must not be confused with the Pseudographa, first book of Enoch, and the book of the secrets of Enoch. Verse 25, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. We find ourselves in 874 B.C. that Lamech is born. Noah's father is born. And Adam is still alive. We pass down the line. Seth is still alive. Founder of the kingdom of Seth, as we will be studying. The kingdom is started out very simply as family and developed out. You've got to understand, God allowed progressive revelation, progressive development of nations under his national concept. But his client nation, his testimony, was there from the beginning. This doctrine is important for you to understand that God had a testimony from the beginning, and God has kept a testimony. And Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. In 1056 after the fall, he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our works and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. Now, I want you to think about something here for just a minute. According to the Hebrew text, Adam died in 930 after the fall, and Seth died in 1042 after the fall. So Lamech died just 14 years after the death of Seth. Enos died in 1140 A.F., Canaan in 1235 A.F., Mahalalel in 1290 A.F., Jared in 1422 A.F. So, we have at the birth of Lamech, in 1056, we still have living Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared. Enoch had been translated in 987. Methuselah, who would live to the day of the flood, I believe, 1656. Of course, Lamech, who passed away in 1651, AF after the flood. And this brings us down to the Noah, point four, the first book of the prophet Noah. This is Genesis 5, 1 to 32. It's titled The Book of the Generations of Adam, indicates its semiotograph. Again, the last verse seems to confirm its author. God is revealed only by the name of Elohim, and this monograph distinguishing it from the book of Adam, where the name Jehovah Elohim is used, or the book of Seth, where Jehovah is used. We have a difference in the use of the titles of God here. Very important. All scriptures God breathed, not just what we want to make, and choose and pick from. The one exception is when he quotes his father using the name Jehovah in Genesis 5, 29. And he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground, which the Lord is, which Jehovah hath cursed." Now, the second, point five, the second book of the prophet Noah is Genesis 6, 9 to 22, 7, 7 to 24, 8, 1 to 19, and 9, 1 to 27. A, the title of Generations of Noah is found in the first verse, Genesis 6, 9. B, the Son is revealed, member of the Godhead, John 1, 18. John 1, 18, an old, very familiar verse to all of us. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. See, the Son made theophany appearances to walk with Adam in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 1, 15 to 25, compared to 3, 8. But I don't take time to read all these passages, we've already been through them with you without him. Then Enoch walked with the Son, Genesis 5, 22 and 24. Noah walked with the Son, Genesis 6, 9. F, who better than Noah to give a first-hand account of the Father's instructions for building the ark, what happened on the ark and afterwards? G, Noah was not only a prophet, but was also a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2, 5. 2 Peter 2, 5. Spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. H. Noah uses the name Elohim almost exclusively in this monograph. I uses the name Jehovah when he speaks to the Lord, shutting them safely up in the ark, Genesis 7, 16. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh, as Elohim had commanded him, and the Lord, Jehovah, or Yahweh, if you prefer, shut him in. He uses the name of Jehovah when he speaks to the Lord, shutting them up safely in the ark, Genesis 7:16. He changes to the name Jehovah Elohim when he closes the monograph in Genesis 9:26. Jehovah Elohim of Shem, this is very interesting. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Jehovah Elohim of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant." This is a quote of Noah. Point K. This change of the name indicates his passing on the colors of Bible doctrine to his spiritual son, Shem, the one who would walk with God and carry on the line. Now, Noah was born in 1056 after the flood. When we come back to read of Noah in Genesis chapter 5, and Noah lived 500 years. 500 years old, and Noah begets Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So in 1556 AF, Christmas were born, I'm going to argue with you. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Or, if Shem was born first, and there's an argument in the Hebrew text or something there, related to Shem's death, how long he lived after the flood. But I believe they were born as triplets. Hey, 1556. Shem was to be a spiritual leader. When we get over to Genesis chapter 10, we read of the death of Shem. We'll cover that. All right, the third book of the prophet Noah, Genesis 1:1-2:3. Hey, the book of creation stands alone, has no first-hand knowledge recorded in it. B is isolated from all personal experience or human recollection. C says, not like it to have been written by Adam because his apparent appreciation for salvation caused him to use the name Jehovah Elohim in his book, and his book uses only the name of Elohim. Or P is not likely to have been written by Adam because his apparent appreciation for his salvation caused him to use the name Jehovah Elohim in his book, and his book uses only the name Elohim. His writing seems isolated from all of the monographs. E, this implies that we have a separate book, and that means it could have been given by the Spirit to any one of the prophets. F, the style of writing also seems to correspond more closely to the first and second books of Noah more than the other of the writings for this dispensation. G is a complete monograph in and of itself, and therefore Moses did not appear to weave it from various fragments of writing, but received direct confirmation from the Spirit to its accuracy. H. Noah also would be a logical writer because it reveals that the Father designed a theocentric culture for the Son to introduce to Adam in the Garden of Eden. I, since the Son is the revealment of the Godhead during the Age of Innocence, Adam lived under a Christological government with a theocentric culture. I repeat, since the Son is the revealment of the Godhead during the Age of Innocence, Adam lived under a Christological government with a theocentric culture. Remember, we saw that Adam was the prince regent of Christ, not a standalone dictator over what existed, even though there was only Eve. The potential was there for a long extended governmental system. But God did not allow it to happen because he knew sin and evil was going to come into the world. God had a perfect plan. But the simple government there that Adam had, that Adam and Eve had, was theocentric culture and a Christological government. I remind you of an important point that relates to all government that we will be studying and looking at. That you must not get away from. A nation is an organic part of a culture. It expresses by itself, it expresses by its life and development a certain inner possibility of the cultural soul. A nation is never independent of its culture, and this condition of dependence is shown by the expression we call the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. This is the nature and history that relates to it when we begin to examine and deal with nations and governments. With the state, we come to a first purely political idea of the life of the high culture, race, people, nations. Have all them political potentialities, deep connections with politics, but state is a political term. Adam ruled over a nation with a cultural connection as the patriarch after the fall, as the patriarch before the fall, as the prince regent of Christ before the fall. But the political concept was not there in the simplicity of it. This would come into the vision between those who would follow God and those who would follow Satan, and the influence that it would have upon their system. Cain would go out from the presence of God. He would isolate himself from all that was spiritual truth. Now we read the concept of Shem. It becomes a very important concept to us in Genesis chapter 11. Shem was 100 years old and he begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Now the reading of the Hebrew there has left confusion on two sides. He was 100 when he came out of the ark. That would be logical based upon Genesis chapter 5, where we clearly read. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 6. Relating to Noah. The story of the giants, introduction to the flood. It says of grace there. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are generations. Noah was just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God and the Lord. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These were Noah's three sons. And we read in Genesis chapter 10, verse 29, the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now we discover immediately then, the Noah died in 2006 a.m. Alright, so the flood was 1,656 years. And Noah lived after that for 300 years. 50 years. Alright, so he's alive for 350 years. And this is very, very important to understanding what's going on in the history of what happened after the flood also. Because we read of Shem. In chapter 11. And Shem lived after we got Arphaxad 500 years, and we got sons and daughters. Now, if you take it that Arphaxad was born 2 years after the flood, and Shem was 500 when he went into the flood, not that he was 100 at the birth of Arphaxad, but he was 100 when he went into the ark. You actually have Shem living 602 years. Scripture never does clearly state in either way. It's a confusion in the Hebrew there, as many people, the scholars have pointed out. This means that Shem lived to 2,158, or 152 years after Noah. An interesting concept to realize where we're at. Important information for what you've got here. Now listen to what we're saying. Shem had a view of life that lasted going backwards. At Shem's birth, Methuselah was still alive. Lamech was still alive. Shem was born in 1556. Methuselah died in 1656. Lamech in 1651. Noah in 2066. Shem in 2156, based on the Hebrew text. And I believe 2158 because of the question of the 2 years there. The other some choose 56, some choose 58. Now, think about this just a minute. Arphaxad was born in 1656. Sarah in 1691. Abel in 1721. This is all AF after the fall. Peleg in 1755, Regu in 1785, Sereg in 1817, Nahor in 1846, Terah in 1876, Abram in 1946 AF. So you take Abram in 1946 and add 75 years to the call out of it, and you're in 2021. You take his full time to the birth of Isaac, which is 2046. Isaac is born in 2046, and Shem is still alive on the face of the earth. Now, we may have to add a period there for Canaan, who is mentioned over in Luke 1, but not and found in the Septuagint, but not found in the Hebrew text for some reason. And we might have to make some kind of a little bit of an adjustment in there for time. But it is clear that when Isaac was born on the face of the earth, Shem was still alive. We have them generations. First generation Adam, second Seth, third Enos, fourth Canaan, fifth Mahalalel, sixth Jared, seventh Enoch, eighth Methuselah, ninth Lamech, tenth Noah, 11th Shem, 12th Arphaxad, 13th Canaan, 14th Seba, 15th Eber, 16th Peleg, 17th Regu, 18th Serug, 19th Nahor, 20th Terah, 21 Abraham, 22 Isaac. We have 22 generations from Adam to Abraham. During those 22 generations, we have a testimony of 22 generations in which we look back at and see an impact upon history of these men in an interesting way. The old age that God allowed them to live. The fact that Shem was 100 years old when his grandfather Methuselah died, he went into the ark. The fact that 7 years before that, when he was 93 years old, I'm sorry, 7 years. I mean 7 years, I mean 5 years before that, his father Lamech passed away. Shem had been able to talk to Lamech, and Lamech could have known Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, and Methuselah. He would not have known Enoch. But all the rest, Lamech would have known. So he could have known Enoch too, because he was born in 874 and Enoch died in 987 after the fall. Think of it. Shem's father and grandfather had known all, had been able to communicate all the way back to Adam. Now whether how much communication went on between the old and the young, which generation and things are interesting concepts, I'm not going to speculate on. I'm just trying to show you the picture that God gives us. And I'm not going to argue that thousands of years and broken people are in there, because we've got specific things, and Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad. And there could have been people in between, generations in between, and their grandfathers, understand that from the Hebrew text. But if this was true, it doesn't change the fact that the age of the birth, how old they were when the next person's name was born, even if the beget means a grandfather, which it could, but I don't think it necessarily does. In fact, I believe it totally doesn't, because the book that says, of reference there, when we put all scripture together, gives us a different picture of what it says. Now, I'm going to prove to you that the people don't take everything into consideration of all scripture. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, the word person is not in the Greek. It says the eighth. The eighth implies he's the eighth generation. And I'm going to take it literally. And I take all scripture literally that makes sense literally in the contextual analysis. All right. Jay, the sun moved over him, but since the Trinity was not revealed, the culture was theocentric. Cain Noah could pass on to Shem, who was the type of the Son, the doctrine of the promised coming Redeemer by means of the seed of woman. L, the revelation that only God could redeem the fallen Adamic human race, is theocentric doctrine, and that a Redeemer was coming into humanity was Christological revelation. The book of the prophets, 7, the book of the prophet Shem, Genesis 6, 1 and 2. 3 and 4. Genesis 6, 1 and 2, verses 3, 4, 5 to 8, 7, 1 to 6, 8, 20 to 22, and 9, 28 to 29, 11, 1 to 9. Now, the internal evidence of style implies that Moses interwove several fragments, separate fragments, into the fragments of Noah's writing. Maybe Genesis 6, 1 and 2 appears to be fragmentation dealing with the original angelic infiltration of the Adamic human race while Jared was still living. So Genesis 6, 3 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the Father's response to the angelic infiltration of the Adamic human race after the same period of time had passed. You realize, of course, that Jared died in 1422 AF. Noah had been born in 1056. So just under 400 years. 14 years short of 400 years, which would make him 386 years old. Noah, when Jared died, Jared was the father of Enoch. So Noah had great information available to him he could share with his son, Shem. Now, alright, Genesis 6, 1 and 2 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the original angelic infiltration of the Adamic human race that occurred while Jared was still living. This we'll see when the sons of El cohabitated with women. Or indeed, Genesis 6, 4 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the results of the first angelic infiltration of the Adamic human race and the second angelic infiltration of the Adamic human race. We have two separate instances appear to have occurred here. In Genesis 6:2, we read, 1 and 2, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them with the sons of God, Baal Elohim. Saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Genesis 6:3 appears to be the fragmentation dealing with the Father's response to it. And the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with man, for that he is his flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. For there were giants in the earth, and there were deities, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the doors of men, they were showing them, and the same became out of men who were of old, men without. I believe we are two separate instances occurring. Here, they're being recorded. Genesis 6:4 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the results of the first angelic infiltration of the Adamic human race and the second angelic infiltration of the Adamic human race. Here, Genesis 6:5 and 7 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the Father's proclamation of divine judgment upon the entire anti-religion world. I'm going to take time to read all these because I want to get through the study here. In this class, you can look these verses up for yourself. We will come back to Genesis chapter 6, and a historical look at national entities. And you go through it in detail. One half, Genesis 6, 8 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the Father's manifestation of grace in the midst of judgment. G, Genesis 7, 1 to 6 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the flood that is not a part of Mary's writings, and the primary reason is the use of Job instead of Elohim. H. This one implies it could have been written by Seth or Enoch, except that they were not alive at the time of the flood, and Seth was not even living when Noah was born. The fact that Jehovah is used in Genesis 6:3 fragmentation, verses 5-7 fragmentation, the verse 8 fragmentation implies the same person wrote them, and even around here is used in verse 5 as part of a larger fragmentation. Genesis 8:20-22 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the Noahic covenant written by someone who was present. But the use of Jehovah implies Shem and not Noah wrote it. Verses 9:28-29 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with the death of Noah, implies it was written by someone who knew him and was present at his death. And Genesis 11:29 appears to be a fragmentation dealing with Nimrod's attempt to reestablish the Kinetic kingdom under his rulership over the entire Hamitic race. And the use of Jehovah and the fact that Shem was the father of the Sethic spiritual culture after the flood, along with Noah, implies he was also the writer of this fragmentation. 8, the book of the prophet Eber. Genesis 10:1-32. As Shem begat Arphaxad, Arphaxad begat Canaan according to Luke chapter 2, not mentioned in Genesis. And then came Shelah and Eber. So we're 4 generations after Arphaxad. I'm sorry, after Shem. Eber appears on the scene. The title of the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth establishes this as a monograph. B. The only book of Eber would be Genesis 10:1-32. Noah lived for approximately 315 years after the birth of Eber. C. Eber's exact birth date is confused by the fact that his grandfather Canaan is not listed in Hebrew texts. He listed with incorrect information in the Septuagint and documentation as having occurred in the Gospel of Luke. B. Eber lived for between 165 and 325 years after the birth of Abraham. A debate exists about the birth of Abraham and if he was born when his father was 70, if he was born when his father was 130 years of age. F. Eber would have had access to all the information in this chapter. G. Had Moses been the original author of both Genesis 10:1-32 and 11:10-26, the one should have been made to correspond with the other. And also should have been a more symmetrical statement of the genealogy in a more continuous and digested fashion. So it was clearly written before the destruction of Sodom, as proven by verse 19. Okay, in contrast, Moses, and by the way, verse 19 real quick there, of chapter 10 says, and the banner of the Canaanites was from Sodom as they came to Gera, and the Gaza as they go from the Sodom and Gomorrah and Adama and Zeboam, even in the Lashes. Sodom is still being used in the reference word. Okay, in contrast, Moses in Deuteronomy 3:17 wrote, as thou goest by the salt sea, while Eber wrote, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Adnah and Zeboam. Now is the book of the prophet Abraham, Genesis 11:10. Styles more and following. It's 11:10 down through chapter 26. A style is more ordered than the style of Genesis 10:1-32. B, the genealogy may well have been handed down from generation to generation, given to Abraham by his father, Terah. It may have gotten it from Shem, who was still alive, and is likely counted for being Melchizedek, king of priests of Jerusalem. The first opinion is that he is the king priest of Salem. That is the book of the prophet Job. Job, also known as Jobab, then the son of Joktan, and the grandson of Abraham, Genesis 10:24-29. Job, Job 1:1. Satan was born with 7 grandsons and 3 granddaughters, Job 1:2. Each of his grandsons had their own homes, though apparently unmarried, Job, probably married, it's a typographical error, probably married. Job 1:4. Job was a spiritual baby who obeyed God, Job 1:5-8. After Job lived 140 years after he passed the spiritual test, Job lived to be an old man in his day, Job 42:17. There's some time that Job lived to be 200 years of age or older, probably around 280, doubling his age, along with the other blessings that he had. And since his first cousin he lived from 239 to be 239, to the better would be a full age. Job's extensive book shows the potential for writings to have existed by prophets from the dispensation of the Gentiles. Father, we thank you for the prayer of teaching the word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise, it will not return void. But for accomplish what you designed for, in Christ's name, we pray, amen.